speak to us in this time as we go to your word. So we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide this time. We pray that we can tune into your spirit and to what you have to say to us. And I just pray, would you minister a deep encouragement to each heart this morning? The deep encouragement of who you are and how mighty you are at work in every situation that we're facing, in every situation of this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the title of today's sermon is The Peace of Thanksgiving. You could turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in 6 through 9. I always encourage us to open up our Bibles and have it in front of us, see it in context, and all those passages will be up on the screens as well. So I wanted to start off with a statistic, and or actually it was just a fact and a data or a piece of data. But the question is, how many adults aged 18 and older in the United States are affected by anxiety or depression? All right, so I have a couple choices up here. So 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, 40 million. All right, so how many of you would say, or you might actually know this answer, how many adults aged 18 and older in the United States are affected by anxiety, depression? How many of you say 10 million? Raise your hand. 20 million? 30 million? 40 million? The correct answer is, in fact, 40 million. Just to put this into perspective, the Los Angeles County has about 10 million people in it. That's all of Los Angeles County. And you know, Los Angeles County is really densely populated, lots of people, 10 million people. So it'd be like four Los Angeles counties filled with people who are struggling with anxiety or depression. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem in this world. It's obviously in the United States, and we need an answer. And so the question that we're answering today is, how do we attain true peace? And today's passage begins to answer this question. So again, we're in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read 6 through 7 to start off with. How do we attain true peace in light of this really tragic situation in this world, in the United States? So let's read 6 through 7 together, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So let's read it out loud. It's in the New International Version translation up on the screen. So let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul recognized that this was an issue for the Philippian church, and he had a prescription for them. And his prescription for them was for them to pray and also to give thanks. And Paul was saying that God had a great prognosis for them with this prescription, because verse 7 tells us that as they lifted up their prayers to God, as they lifted up thanksgiving to God, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding was going to guard their heart and their mind in Christ Jesus. So let me put it like this for point number one. How do we attain true peace? Give thanks to God. I wanted to offer an illustration at this point. I really feel like it's from the Lord, because as I was meditating on this passage, I kept thinking about the idea of the Panama Canal. And I can't really explain that, but it just kept on popping into my mind. So I feel like it's from the Lord to use this as an illustration. So the Panama Canal. Some of you are probably familiar with it, just learning it in school or whatnot. It's it connects the Atlantic Ocean with the Pacific Ocean. And so they developed this Panama Canal and built it so that ships could pass through instead of going around South America, which would be an additional 8,000 miles. They would pass through the Panama Canal, would take a ship, depending on the size and different factors, but about 6 to 8 hours to pass through from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, obviously saving a lot of time, saving a lot of distance, saving a lot of anxiety, if I can put it that way. And so the parallel with what Paul was saying, I'm going to put it up here like this. From anxiety to peace is going through the Thanksgiving Canal. As Paul was saying, as we give thanks to God, as we come in, we offer up the thanksgiving to God, we're going from anxiety to peace. Now, I want to point this out. I think this is a very important point to make, is that there is another way to peace, right? There is another way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, going around South America, for across, even as Christians, there is another way to peace. We believe that us as Christians, we're all going to enter into eternal peace someday. And but what Paul was saying was that there is an opportunity for us, and the abundant life that Jesus offers is not for us to have to wait and go through the long, arduous journey of an additional 8,000 miles, if I could put it that way, to get to the peace. But that he provides the Thanksgiving canal for us to enter into his peace and into his abundant life, into what he already has to offer. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The gospel message in Ephesians 6 is called the gospel of peace. The city of God, the city of Jerusalem, is called the city of peace. The abundant life that Jesus offers is a life of peace. And yet, in our lives sometimes, that we could take the long route and not take the Thanksgiving canal and begin to have to wait and go through this life of anxiety. I wanted to say this morning, when we talk about anxiety, and I've studied anxiety a little bit, and so those of you that studied psychology or counseling can confirm this, but they talk about the cycle of anxiety. And different people will put it in different ways, but the cycle of anxiety is that there's a trigger to anxiety, there's gonna be a physical response, there's gonna be an emotional response. The emotional response or the physical response could become the trigger in itself, and it just perpetuates, and you're in this cycle of anxiety. And experts would say that obviously you need to break out of that anxiety. And a lot of people would say that breaking out of anxiety, you need some type of thing to literally break. Or they'll literally say you need to take a break, just break away from it, take some deep breaths in order to break out of the anxiety. I think Paul is saying something very similar here in this passage. As he's speaking to the Philippian church and obviously has an agenda, and you can look in your Bibles in the rest of Philippians, he has lots of things to say to them, but in this he begins to take a break and calling them to a life of giving thanks to God in order to break out of the anxiety and the life that was happening around them. He was telling them to take a break, give thanks to God. We're going to do that this morning. I mean, the encouragement is, especially on this Thanksgiving week, for us to take a break and give thanks to God. But even this morning, if you've been around our church for a while, the last 6 months, we've been having a new practice in our church of giving 90-second testimonies, of just giving thanks to God for what he's doing in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our everyday life, in school, at work. And the idea of those many different things is to take this break where God's peace begins to come. I want to point out something very important. The book of Philippians is written to a church. It's not written to an individual. Paul, at other times, he wrote to individuals. But in this, when he began to talk to the church, the whole church, the Philippian church, and this is included in the scripture to all churches and certainly to Vineyard of Harvest Church, was to give thanks corporately and as a church to give thanks that God's peace begins to come. So I wanted to say that when we begin to give thanks, that it's encouraging to us, but it's also, we're releasing God's peace upon us as we begin to give thanks. I wanted to say something about the 90-second testimonies, which we will practice at the end of service. We've been doing the 90-second testimonies, and a lot of times what happens is that, sometimes we have some people share testimonies, and then people come up to me afterwards, after service, and they tell me their testimony. And they say, I was going to share, but I wasn't sure. And it might have been it was kind of a small testimony. But here it is, and they share it with me. And oftentimes it's not a small testimony, if I can say that. And then I'm encouraged by that. But the rest of the church is not encouraged by it because they don't know. And I just want to encourage us today, especially on this Thanksgiving week, but especially as we're in this passage, we have an opportunity to release God's peace upon people. And there's no testimony that's too small. And so, and these aren't even small testimonies anyway that people are sharing with me. And I just want to encourage us in that, in our lives, but certainly also this morning as we share the 90-second testimonies later on. I wanted to say that at this point, you might say, but life is tough, and I don't really have any testimony. I don't even have any small testimonies. Well, I think that the next two verses speak into that, and I hope that you would be encouraged by these next two verses. So Philippians 4, and then 8 and 9. All right, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. So these next two verses, let's read it out loud together from the screen. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So I'm going to take just three of the adjectives that are in verse 8 just to help explain it, explain what Paul, the point that Paul was trying to make. So Paul was saying to think upon the things that are noble. Now, certainly in Paul's life, and certainly in Paul's world, in the Philippian church's world, and certainly in our world, there's things that are not noble. There's certain things that are happening that are not noble things. There's certain actions of certain people that are not noble. Certainly, Paul recognized those things. But Paul was saying, focus our minds on the things that are noble. When Paul said to think upon those things that are right, certainly in Paul's life, in Paul's world, in the Philippian church's world, in our world, certainly there's things that are not right. Certainly there's things that are wrong. Certainly that this morning in our lives, there might be some things that are wrong, some things that even the enemy has thrown our way. But Paul's point was to focus on the things that are right. Paul said to think upon the things that are lovely. Certainly in Paul's life, certainly in our lives, there could be things that are not lovely, that are completely unlovely. But Paul's point to the Philippian church, in the midst of calling them to Thanksgiving, was to focus their mind on the things that are lovely. And I'm going to point out that Paul was not just talking theory. He was not just giving them just some good words or some good practices for them. But we see in verse 9 that Paul was saying that there are certain things that they had learned, received, heard, and seen in his life. They were to put those things in the practice. So Paul began to live out this lifestyle that he was calling them to. If you look just down in your Bibles, a couple of verses in verse 12, it says this. Let's read this out loud together. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So Paul was saying that in the midst of his life, that there were certainly things that were tough. There were things that were not noble, that were not right, that were not lovely. But he was saying that he learned the secret of content, of focusing his mind on those things that were. I shared a couple of weeks ago that just personally for me, God has been speaking to me about this very point in the last couple of years. And I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago an illustration that really has impacted me of how a lot of times we talk about, or people talk about life as, you know, hills and valleys, and there's times to give thanks and where it's going well, and then there's times that it's not going well, and then times that there's going well, and then times that it's not. But that this person shared with me that life is really like train tracks where there's always good things that are happening, while there's always tough things that are happening, and it is up to us whether to focus our minds on the things that are good and not focus on the things that are bad. Not to ignore them, and I'll get to that point in just a minute, but to focus our minds on those things where we give thanks to God. Let me put it like this for point number two. How do we attain true peace? Give thanks to God for the things that are going well. Let me just share, just personally for me, just a journey for me in the last year and a half. Our youngest son, Levi, was born in June 2014, so about a year and a half ago. And so when he was born, the day after, he had the state-mandated hearing test, and he failed it in both ears. And you can imagine that as a parent, there was anxiety that went along with that. And the recommendation was to do, you know, follow-up test, a comprehensive diagnostic test to really find out what was happening. But the way that the hospital schedule worked out and the way the insurance worked out for us, we weren't able to schedule that comprehensive diagnostic for 5 months. So you can imagine, for me, or maybe just it was, or it's, I really can't explain it, but it was, I mean, there was anxiety there about that for 5 months. And of course, you know, if I could, I'm going to just throw back up this picture for Evangeline. She was encouraging me in this process of literally the Thanksgiving canal. She didn't put it that way, but of saying, we got to give thanks that, you know, Levi's responding to sound. We have to give thanks that, you know, he's healthy in these other ways. Let's just give thanks for those things. So literally this Thanksgiving canal, there's anxiety, but let's lead it to peace. Let's begin to give thanks to God. But just honestly for me, if I'm honest about that journey, that I was taking the long route. I was taking the 8,000-mile route. Where there was a 6 to 8 hour route that was offered to me, but I was going around South America. and for 5 months, anxiety. And you know, and it was just and that you know, I mentioned that there is another way to peace, and that's the long route around it. So fast forward to 5 months, and we went in for the comprehensive diagnostic. I feel like we experienced a miracle. The statistics were all against us, but Levi, it turned out that he had perfect hearing in his left ear, and just a slight hearing loss in his right ear. We pray for him every day about that. But this, you know, obviously a miracle. That's not going to affect him. I mean, his life or his speech development or anything. And at that point, there was tremendous peace. But I just want to point out what Paul was saying was that we don't need to wait and take the long, arduous journey in order to find peace. But God's call to the Philippian church, and certainly to our church, and certainly maybe in our situations this morning, that certainly there's tough situations that are happening here, certain anxious things, certain anxiety-driven things in our lives, and that we brought to church even this morning. And Paul encouraged us, and God encourages us, to go through the Thanksgiving canal, to begin to give thanks to God, to begin to focus our mind on the things that are good, that are going well, that God has done, and begin to give thanks to him in those things, begin to lead to breakthrough in our lives and ultimately to peace, to true peace. You might say at this point, you know, I don't want to be fake. You know, if there's the good things that are happening, you know, and I have this one arm, but this arm got chopped off and I'm bleeding to death, I'm not just going to give thanks for the good things. You know, I don't want to be fake about it. But I just want to point out what Paul says in verse 6. Here's what he says. He says that we are to, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we are to present our requests to God. And so he wasn't saying to ignore those tough things that are happening, but he was saying that we need to release those tough things to God. So let me put it like this for point number 3. How do we attain true peace? Point number 3, release our tough situations to God. Let me give an illustration on this one. Some of you know that about a month ago, I got into a car accident on a nearby street over here. So I got into the car accident, got out of the car. I was sitting on the side of the road. My car was totaled and essentially non-operational. And you can imagine standing on the side of the street with that situation, there is anxiety that was there. Right? So the lady gets out of the car. She admits the fault. We contact the insurance company, and I release it to the insurance company. And when I release it to the insurance company, lots of peace, as you can imagine. Can you imagine if I got out of the car and I decided, you know what, I'm just going to handle this on my own. It might work for a minor situation, but I'm talking about a totaled car, when I'm talking about tough situations. And I just said, we're not going to involve the insurance. Just, you know, have your insurance company contact me, and I'm going to arbitrate everything. I'm going to navigate this whole situation by myself. That would be crazy. It wouldn't work, right? And so what Paul was saying in this was that we need to release those tough situations, God. We need to give thanks to God for the great things that he is doing, and for those things that we can't handle, that we need to release those to God. But the situation is that in our lives, there could be certain things that we're holding on to it, or that we're trying to find another way to handle these situations. But Paul's word to us, Paul's encouragement to us about peace, in this passage about peace, is to release these tough situations to God. I wanted to lead us in the end about a prayer to this, but I wanted to lead us to practice literally all three of these points this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to give us a break, and I'm going to ask us to share testimonies with the person sitting right next to you. So don't get up and go a couple of rows. Just the person sitting right next to you, I'm going to give us 90 seconds, because we're talking about 90-second testimonies, okay? So you're just going to share 90-second testimonies. I want to emphasize this. There's no such thing as a small testimony. If God did a breakthrough, just share that. Just give him praise. If you're experiencing some tough situations in your life, well, Paul's word was, we'll focus on the things that God is doing well and good and noble and right and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Focus on those things. And I also wanted to mention this. Afterwards, we're going to come back. After 90 seconds, we're going to come back and we're going to share it with each other. And I want to remind us of this. The book of Philippians, the passage that we just read, was written to a church. Okay? There were other letters that were written to individuals, but this one was written to a church. And when Paul was talking about the peace, he was talking about a peace that was going to be released corporately amongst the Philippian church. So I wanted to encourage us, if I could put it this way, Don't share the testimony with me afterwards, okay? Share the testimony here. Release God's peace upon everybody. Don't just encourage me afterwards. Encourage everybody, and let's respond to God's word in Philippians, okay? So 90 seconds first. Just turn right to your partner or right to your neighbors and just share 90-second testimonies with them. Real quick, 90 seconds. All right, are you guys ready? All right, we're gonna share these together. I wanna give us a goal this morning, okay? So we're gonna share these testimonies, and I wanna make it our goal that we're gonna hear at least three testimonies, okay? Remember, there's no small testimony, and in alignment with this word that was written to the Philippian church, we have an opportunity to release God's peace to the church, all right? So who wants to start us off? Testimonies, and we're going to share them together and release God's peace. Jasmine. Let's give her a hand.
My testimony is kind of overdue because it happened in like October. So anyway, so I got my driver's permit in like last year, and then my deadline was like October. So then I kind of procrastinated the entire year, and like I learned over the summer, and then my test was for September, and I failed. So then that's only one more month till like my permit expires, and then I have to wait another year to like do it again, and I didn't want to do that. So then we were praying really, really hard. We were praying really, really hard for the next test, and I was practicing really hard to make sure I wouldn't fail this time. And on the day of, me and my mom went to the DMV, and then the lady is like, okay, make sure you have all your documents, like get your registration. My mom's like, oh no, I forgot registration. So she runs back to the car and gets the registration, and she looks at me, she's like, Jasmine, I don't have my driver's license. For you guys who don't know, the person who takes you to the DMV has to have their driver's license. So then, or else you can't, because that's illegal, right? And then I was like, oh my gosh, do you even have the money? Because when you fail the test, you have to pay a fee in order to take the next test. It is a fee of $7. And my mom's like, I don't have my wallet. And then I was like, oh no. And like I was like stressing out so much, and like I was definitely like drowning in the sea of anxiety. And my mom was praying so hard, and I was praying really hard, and we were just like in the line to go to the clerk, and my mom's like, well, just ask him, like, just see, okay? And I was like, oh my gosh, right? And then we went to the guy, and everything's going well, and he's like, do you have your driver's license? And she's like, no, but can I give you my driver's license number, because I memorized it? And then he's like, okay, we're not supposed to do that, but sure. And then like me and my mom were like, oh my gosh, right? And then so like, she wrote it down for him. She gave him, he gave her like a temporary license, and then he's like, do you have the money? And she's like, I have some money in the car, can I go get it really quick? And he's like, yeah, sure. She comes back with all coins, like all coins that we keep for like newspapers. And so she's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, like 25, 50, 75. And like, he was just perfect amount, $7. And then he's like, don't you have like check or something? And we're like, no. So then he like puts it in his bag and then he gives me the slip and he's like, oh, here you go. Like, go outside, take your test. And as soon as we walked out, me and my mom were like holding and hugging each other and we almost cried. And then I was like, I don't even know if I remember anything that I need to do for the test because I was so stressful. But, you know, God's so faithful. And then in the car, I was just like singing songs in my head. And then my mom's like, oh, God wouldn't have taken this far. He wouldn't have proven himself so much to just let you fail right now. I know he's going to like help you pass this test. And I did. So praise God.
All right. Amen. God's peace is being released as we're sharing these testimonies. Who else? Let's give praise to God and release God's peace upon each other. Right here, Andrew, okay. Let's give Andrew a hand.
Okay, I had a next door neighbor, she's in her 80s and she's a friend of my mother-in-law and she came by our house to visit her and then I asked her, I go, you know, if you have time, just come by, you know, to VOH and visit our church. And she said, oh, no, I've been a Buddhist for, you know, most of my life. And, you know, I you know, can't be switching religion. So anyway, about a month later, she calls me back on and she said, oh, yeah, I'm interested in coming to your church. I go, really? And then so I guess what happened was she got baptized. She received Jesus Christ. And then the pastor at Cantu, they went to her house and they disposed all her idols and now she's been going to church religiously ever since. So praise God.
Others? Wanda? Let's give her a hand.
Hi guys, my name is Wanda. So recently, about a month and a half ago, I started my new job. And obviously, you guys know, starting a new job, meeting new friends, you know, getting to know your team is super, super, you know, a super, super, you know, nervous kind of time. And so I think this past month and a half has been, a growing transition for me. It was actually really hard for me to meet friends. And just the motivation for me to drive out. So my work is actually in Santa Monica, and I live in Diamond Bar, and so it's about a two-hour drive each way. And so if I don't have any friends, I'm just like, ugh. And then I have the freedom to work remotely as well, so I'm just like, okay, there's no point in going. And so the nature of my work is working with the executives and the employees, managers, to build up trainings. And so when they see me, they don't really see me as, you know, someone that they could talk to about, you know, their work or vent about their work just because I work so closely with their bosses. So it went to a point where I was excluded in many of the conversations. People would be like, oh, Wanda's here, like, let's not talk about it. Or like, oh, we'll talk about it later. And I always just felt so much anxiety because I'm like, oh, but I'm a person too. Like, I'm new. Like, why are you guys like being so mean to me? And then I think I had the most anxiety when it was about lunchtime because I would always eat by myself. And we have like this really big eating area. And so I would always, you know, just go and then, you know, try to like sit with people, but everything's taken. So I'm like, okay, God, like, please help me make friends. So I'm just going to start a new table. So I'm sitting at the new table, but time and time again, nobody comes and like sits with me. And I'm just always trying to pray, you know, about, you know, God not God, you know, strengthening just my faith and just clinging on to his promises because he didn't just bring me there just because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have a community there or, you know, I'm struggling with these relationships. And so I was a lot more intentional about, you know, praying before lunch or even like, you know, on my drive to work, even after work. And so there is this one time, so this one guy, he actually did exclude me from this one of these conversations. And then he had a happy hour because he was leaving. And then I didn't know who he was, but I knew that he was kind of like mean to me. And I didn't even know if he really knew my name. But I really felt like God wanted me to go to this happy hour to support him in leaving. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll go. I don't know anybody. And I say I don't know anybody because I actually have four people on my team, and half of them don't work, like, in the office. So it's technically one person that's working with me, and she's actually my boss, so I don't really have, like, you know, like, coworkers. But so for the happy hour, I remember I had so much anxiety. I was in the car for 30 minutes, and I'm just, like, praying, and I'm like, I don't really want to go inside. Like, I don't know anybody. Like, I'm not even going to drink anyways because I have to drive. And so I gave myself a 35-minute limit in the car before I went in. And so I was like, okay, fine, 37 minutes. Okay, I'll go in. So then, like, I go in, and I'm like, hey. And then the guy that was, you know, actually kind of mean to me, he was like, hey, Wanda, you made it. Welcome. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he knows my name. And then later on, I made sure that I made plans afterwards so I had an excuse to leave. So then I was like, all right, guys, I got to go now. And then a lot of them were like, Wanda, why are you leaving? You should stay. Like, no, you should stay. And so I think this really, you know, shows God's faithfulness in all of this. And, yeah, you know, it's been a month and a half going. But I was actually clinging on to that passage, Philippians 4, of, like, you know, praying and really presenting your requests to God. So every single day I'm just like, please help me with these conversations. Please let me build a rapport with these people. So, yeah, I'm so, so thankful for God and his faithfulness.
All right, so we're just releasing God's peace upon us as we're sharing testimonies. Others? Jessica. Okay, give her a hand.
Hello, mine's really quick. I have a presentation that I have to give on Monday about thinking maps. And my boss decided to put me in charge of presenting the maps and bringing breakfast for everyone. And I totally forgot this weekend. So yesterday, one of my other coworkers said, oh, hey, Jessica, I'm at Costco. Did you want me to get anything? And immediately I had an anxiety panic attack because I completely forgot about the whole thing. And then she ended up buying everything because I said I was sick and she didn't want me to touch the food, which was good. And then that night or yesterday night, I was thinking, oh man, I have to make this presentation. It's going to be daunting. And then, you know, Google thinking map presentations, bam, it's there. And so all I have to do is copy and paste and then present. Yay for Google and God.
It's great. Let's, others. Elaine, go ahead. Let's give Elaine a hand.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Elaine, for those who don't know me. I'm a teacher, and I've been a teacher for 19 years, and I've taught kindergarten, first grade, K-1, 1-2, straight 1, straight K. And then I had to take my daughter to college, and I had set everything up 2 months ahead of time so that I would be all set. So I wanted to spend this quality time for my baby to be settled in Florida. I was so excited. And everything was all set up. I'm there in Florida 2 days in. We're enjoying ourselves. We're in the hotel room. I get a phone call. It's my principal. And I looked at it and I said, Sumner School, I'm on summer vacation. I'm on family time. I am not at school. Why is she calling? Of course, it wasn't good news. She called up and said, you are going to do the TK. And I said, what is the TK? Well, the state of California has this requirement. You have to be 5 by December 1st. Well, they changed it a couple years ago to September 1st. And we only have one other school in our school district that's doing the TK, but they wanted to do it at our site. And so guess who was nominated? Because she had so much primary experience. And so I said, really, I'm in Florida. It's 1 week before school. My entire classroom has first grade materials. I'm all ready to go. Please, is there someone else? We have 3 other kindergarten teachers. Nope, it is not a choice. You're doing it. And so I said, how am I gonna do this? So I had this big dilemma. big, tough situation. I wanted quality time with my daughter, and I have to say, I was near tears, because I believe that if I'm going to do something, then I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I felt I wasn't ready to do right with my daughter, who I was trying to get off, and I wanted to spend that time. And the principal called and texted me every single day for 7 days while I was there, saying, you have to have lesson plans ready. I want this done and that. And I was beside myself. I was looking online. I had no computer. I had to use the hotel computer. I just wanted to cry. And I just kept praying and praying. And when I went back to school, I brought my love, my faith in God, and I looked at all these little ones, and I said, I can do it. God does not give, and I kept thinking in my brain, God does not give you anything he doesn't think you can't handle. And so I kept that in my heart and in my thoughts, and as I looked at these little ones, and on that first day of school, I said, I sent off one to college in Florida, but I've now adopted 24 four-year-olds, going to be five, all within 3 months. So I've had a birthday every single other day. I celebrated 7 birthdays last week. So instead of sending them off with a Thanksgiving feast, it was a Thanksgiving friendship birthday feast. And we had pie tasting with a candle on each one of the kids. And my principal came in and said, this is what I envisioned for you, that you would love these kids and be that special teacher who could handle it. And so I'm really proud of you. And she actually told me, what a transformation. Thank you for your hard work. And the part where I want to bring is that I told this to Tammy, and I told this to the pastors, and you guys prayed for me. And I was in tears when I prayed with you guys. And then Tammy texted me and said, we're still praying for you, even though you're not here. And believe it or not, 2 days ago, the principal rewarded me with finally praise, and the parents are so enthusiastic because now my kids know all their letters and sounds, and they're ahead of the kindergartners. So thank you for everyone who supported me.
Anybody else? Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. Well, actually, I have two, but I leave one for my husband. I want to give point two. I recently, we moved here, and I got a job at a high school working in a health office, working with a nurse. And I never realized what the high schoolers go through. And instead of really being sick, a lot of them, they come in with anxiety issues, depression. And I've actually seen a student with schizophrenia and all that, those issues. And I don't know how to look after these kids. I don't know what to do. So every morning, I think God gave me a courage to play Christian songs in the health office. And I know that a lot of schools discourage that because of religious reason. But I just play very quietly. And when kids come in, I ask them, if a music bothers you, please let me know. Because sometimes I cannot say it's a Christian music. And they, surprisingly, the students do say, oh, I like it. I'm a Christian too, and they really, when they're resting, I can see a little bit of peace, while they're there. And every morning I do and I ask God, what do I do when this kind of kids come in? I don't know how to handle it, I don't know what to do. And every time, God does give me answer, how to do, what to do. So that's, well, it's going well for me right now. I've been there 1 month, I praise God.
So you said you were leaving one testimony for your husband, right? So here's Moy, everybody.
I volunteered.
Yeah, we, we, Yeah, we moved into this neighborhood about 3 months ago. We were anxious and trying to settle down in this new land. But one thing we are very thankful is that we found this church. Yeah, we feel very much at home here, and we feel very much welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else? Laurel, and then Abby. Here's Laurel, everyone.
Okay, compared to my mom, I'll just make it really short. No offense. So I'm Laurel, and my mom is someone that was talking about TK, principal, etc. So I go to the University of Miami in Florida. And so at the very beginning, it was really stressful because I had this roommate that, let's say, every time I walked in, the room was occupied. We'll just leave it at that. So I wasn't really available to go into my room to shower, sleep, do anything because, you know, I'm afraid of going into my room, seeing something I don't want to see. It's just really awkward. That happened for, I want to say, 3 months of my first semester. And so me thinking, okay, like I can do this. But after a while, it was really affecting my grades and my mental health. It's really stressful, and so eventually I actually called my mom about it because I couldn't stand it anymore, and so then she came to VOH, and she told the pastors, and I know Jasmine's mom, Tammy, and I think I told Jasmine too. Yeah, so we were all praying about that, and well, push comes to shove, eventually she had to leave the room. Apparently she was breaking other rules against the conduct. So I got to stay, and she had to leave. Yeah. Praise God.
And this would be kind of like our point number three of we prayed a lot for their family and for that situation, so we really praise God for it along with them. Abby, let's give her a hand.
Hi. My parents went, but I think recently what – it's been hard just because one of my best friends in Irvine, she struggles with clinical depression. It's like hard emotionally for me because I feel like a couple of times she wanted to like commit suicide and stuff, and she would come to me. Like I will always be the first person she goes to, and I felt like it was my job to kind of like save her, you know, kind of be like talk her out of it. And being far away, like away from Irvine, it's even harder because I can't really go drive to her, or I just pretty much can only like call her, text her. The other night, I think a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, she was like really close to just like killing herself. She like burned herself a couple of places. I felt so useless, like I felt like I couldn't do anything. Sorry. But I think the next day, I like really prayed for her. I think I got confirmation from God saying that it's not my job to kind of bring her back. I don't know. I think recently though, she's been telling me that there's this guy who's been constantly checking up on her. He's like a really good guy. I have known him for a few years. He's brought her kind of back closer to God, bringing more joy into her life. And she's been like updating me on it. And I think just like that confirmation from God saying that it's not my job to, as much as I want to kind of be there for people and like make people happy and stuff. I think that really like brought a lot of peace to me. And I now know that like the rest is all in God's hands. And yeah. And if you can pray for her, her name is Joy, which is like kind of ironic, but yeah. But yeah, please pray for her. Thank you.
pray for her right now in response to this passage. This passage talks about with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So let's pray. Father, we just speak peace to Joy's heart. We thank you, Lord, for sending people along her path to minister to her, to love her with the love of Christ. And we just pray, Lord, may you just minister deep love to her. We're praying as a church right now, minister deep love to her, even right now, right where she's at, the things that she's doing right now, minister your love, minister your peace to her. We just put this in your hands, and just even what Abby shared about that this is not something under our control or anything that we can do, but Lord, we just submit her into your hands right now, in Jesus' name, amen. This is great that we're just sharing testimony after testimony. I want to encourage us, especially this is Thanksgiving week, to take that break this week and begin to just give thanks to God. And in the midst of even tough situations, but to think upon those things that God is doing, that is he's doing, that are lovely, that are right, that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy, and begin to give him thanks in that. At this time, we're going to release some tough situations to God. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Worship team, if you can come up at this time. Prayer team, if you can come up at this time. And just want to empower the prayer team. If you have any specific words at this time, we're just going to share those too. One thing that I to mention as Sandra Morgan, who was here last week, who has gotten to know us in the past 2 months because she was with us in September. I've had some contact with her. She mentioned this to me along the way, and she just said that she notices, observes, and senses that we're a praying church. I was really happy to hear that she observes and senses that we're a praying church. And that's the reason why we have this time at the close of our service, this ministry time, for us to release the tough situations to God. For us to give him praise and to give him thanks, but at the same time be real about life and then release the tough situations to him. All eyes closed and heads bowed in this time. Some of us might be facing some tough situations. We could focus on the train tracks of the things that are going good and that are well, lovely, but there's certain tough things that are happening in our lives. And I just want to give us an opportunity right now to respond to this passage, to release those tough situations to God. Put it in his hands. As we close out on Abby's testimony, that exactly that, just release it into his hands, because it's not helpful and it's not going to work when it's in our hands. All eyes closed and heads bowed, would you just lift your hand all the way up and then down this morning? You're responding to God's word to release these tough situations to God. All the way up and then down. That's just you communicating with God, saying, God, I'm releasing these tough situations to you. Father, we just come and we respond to your word this morning. You said, with thanksgiving, present our requests to God. So, Lord, we're coming with these situations represented by our uplifted hands. And we're just saying, God, take these into your hands. It's a much better place in your hands than in our hands. So we just give them to you. Our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. Our peace is in you. Help us even right now in this moment, Lord, to go through the Thanksgiving canal from anxiety to peace, because we're releasing these situations into your hands. Sometimes we get specific words, and I'm just sensing finances, some tough situations of finances. Would you release those situations into the hands of God? It's a much better place in God's hands than in our hands. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Does that apply to anyone here? Just hand all the way up and then down. I just want to pray specifically for that. All the way up and then down. Father, thank you that you're the God who owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Thank you, God, that you have more than enough. And so, Lord, we come and we just release these financial situations into your hands. And Lord, in exchange, Lord, release your peace. What a great exchange in our favor. We release the tough situations into God's hands, and he releases peace. We just received that this morning. We just received that this morning. We're going to close out our service as we normally do. Two songs. We're just going to sing it to the Lord in response. If you could all stand at this time, our prayer team will be up here to pray for any and all needs. It might be related to something in the sermon and otherwise, but we would love to pray for you for anything, and we'll be releasing tough situations to God. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this time. We pray, Lord, let there be deep ministry, deep peace of the Lord be released upon us, upon your people, upon your church, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You unravel me with the melody. You surround me with the song of deliverance from my enemies to all my fears are gone.
You unravel me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. Blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Child of God, I am a child.